From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren is under attack for taking a DNA test in response to President Trump's repeated goading of her claims of Native American ethnicity. The potential presidential candidate and progressive Democrat unveiled in elaborate detail the results of a DNA test that apparently showed she had Native American ancestry going back 6 to 8 generations, including a slickly produced video. Although she said she does not claim membership in any tribe, the Cherokee Nation spokesperson Chuck Hoskin shot back, saying using a DNA test to lay claim to any connection to the Cherokee Nation or any tribal nation, even vaguely, is inappropriate and wrong. He added, Senator Warren is undermining tribal interests with her continued claims of tribal heritage. President Trump has repeatedly belittled Warren, calling her Pocahontas. He attacked Obama in a similar way, constantly claiming the president was not a natural-born U.S. citizen. We turn now to Simon Moya Smith. He's an Oglala, Lakota, and Chicano journalist. He recently wrote an op-ed on CNN.com entitled, I am a Native American. I have some questions for Elizabeth Warren. He's the author of the forthcoming book, Your Spirit Animal is a Jackass. Welcome to the program, Simon.
You're welcome.
Love the title of your forthcoming book, and definitely want to have you back on the show to discuss it. What are the questions that you posed for Elizabeth Warren in your CNN op-ed?
I mean, it's basic. Where have you been? She claims to have Native American heritage. Well, she was claiming to be Native American, and she had this massive platform. But when things were going down at Standing Rock against the Dakota Access Pipeline in 2016, she didn't say anything. Native Americans are more likely to be killed by police than any other demographic, and yet she hasn't said anything about that, only up until recently, I think it was February, when she spoke at the National Congress of American Indians. Native women are 2.5 times more likely to be sexually assaulted than women of any other demographic, and she hasn't said anything about that only until recently. So our question is, where have you been? If you're Native American and you're elected to Congress, you think you'd be the first one to talk about issues that are plaguing our communities, but she has routinely not said anything. And we want to know why. Why haven't you included us in these discussions, and why haven't you brought up these issues that affect the community that you claim to be a part of?
The issue of the Dakota Access Pipeline in particular was such a high-profile flashpoint. It, really was something that the entire nation focused on. It played out over the span of many months. A lot of journalists went there. You had the Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein went there, and you had other, I believe there were some other lawmakers that did express solidarity. So she had plenty of chances to speak up on that issue, right?
She did, but she didn't. And then she wrote something, I think, on Facebook in December, after all of the blood and carnage and a lot of the incarceration had already happened. I mean, she could have said something. She said something a month after Barack Obama made his famous statement, or at least famous to us, in early November of that year, when he said he's going to see how it plays out. Well, he knew how it was playing out. People were getting injured. People were being shot at with rubber bullets, freezing water cannons, in right in the middle of the evening. I mean, there was ample opportunity for her to say something, but how do you show up later and act like you were always there? And she hasn't always been there, so we just want that answered. We want these to be answered. Where have you been? Why haven't you said anything? You're in Congress. Why have you just like completely shunned us? And then now you're here.
So the other issue that that you brought up, which I think is so important, and that is sexual violence and assault against Native American women. It is a very huge issue. Native American women have been disappearing. They experience very high homicide rates. As a female member of Congress, is Elizabeth Warren someone who's taken a stand just purely from the perspective of opposing violence against women?
I mean, she has, right? And again, this is why I think it's important. We have to give credit where credit is due, but we also have to give criticism where criticism is due. Why, if she claims to be Native, would she not mention that Native women were more likely to be sexually assaulted than women of any other demographic? And the majority of the time, these are non-Native men. And these are getting worse with these man camps going around these fracking and oil extraction locations in certain states, especially in the northern Dakotas, where they set up these basically hot spots of assault. Men show up, they go to these man camps, are living in barracks, they have the masculine toxicity, and it's no surprise that these women go missing or there is a domestic abuse. And she has failed to say anything only until recently. And that's just, it's just convenient for her to come out and say something now. But again, this is just basic. This is just, this would be like I said in my story, if somebody in your crew has gone missing every time, forgive me, hits the fan, why do you think that it's okay that you show up now and it's not, it really isn't.
Now, I understand you were a journalist with the Indian Country Today Media Network at one point, and you tried to reach out to her for interviews?
We did, yeah. Every time something went, every time we wanted to ask her a question about this parentage claim, you know, she ignored us. She ignored us like an ex-boyfriend or an ex-girlfriend. and that bothered us. Like, okay, you claim to be a part of the community or you claim to be Native. Why are you ignoring us and why ignore Native journalists? Why not just answer the questions? What are you hiding from that you have to hide from Indigenous people? That was the problem. And now she comes out with this DNA test, but that doesn't demonstrate that you're part of the community. There's more to being Native than what you see on some broad-stroked DNA test. You have to be a part of the community. You are responsible to respond to issues that affect our communities and not just show up when it's convenient.
It seems as though, Simon, that this was a claim that she made at a time when she was obviously much younger, that she's, you know, just kind of stuck with and hoped would go away. But of course, Trump, who has an attack dog mentality, refused to let it go away. And then instead of disavowing it and saying, you know what, I should never have claimed this, she dug her heels in and tried to one-up Trump, who is a master at manipulation and attack tactics. And it seems like her ploy failed disastrously.
Oh, it did. It really did. She doubled down, like you said. She dug her heels in, and unfortunately, we're used as one. I saw it on Twitter. Somebody said Natives are being used as a football between the two. These two white people are throwing us back and forth. And just because somebody claims that they're Native, I mean, I understand family lore, and I don't want to disabuse people of their family lore, but she's perpetuating this horrific culture of taking from Natives. And I said this on Twitter, that they take our land, they take our water, they take our kids, they take our culture, tradition, spirituality, and now they want to take our identity. And I don't think she understands the repercussions of what we have to face as Indigenous people when we go to apply for a job, for example. People will show up and claim to be a quarter Cherokee, hopefully to get that job. But now people can go, and then instead of saying, well, they're going to follow what Elizabeth Warren has done, and they're not going to claim to be Native American, they're going to claim to have Native heritage. Hmm. These are issues that face our community with so many people wanting. We don't know. Maybe it started around Kevin Costner and Dances with Wolves. All of a sudden, we were cool. At one point, nobody wanted to be Native American. We were demonized. It was a bad thing to be Native American, and now just tons of people are trying to feel this ethnic bankruptcy with just claiming to be Native American for selfish gain. And now people say, well, she didn't claim it for selfish gain. She changed from white to Native American while she was at Penn and at Harvard. But no, you're feeling some cultural or social capital there by claiming to be Native American. But again, it's more than just claiming. You have to be part of the community. You have to say something when it affects our community, just like Standing Rock did. Police brutality, women and murdered and missing Indigenous women, and she hasn't said anything only until this year.
Would it have mattered if the DNA test had shown a much greater percentage or whatever? I mean, or, you know, is that something that's not as relevant?
No, it would come back to what's new are these broad-stroked DNA results, not her claim. Her claim has been, she's been claiming to be Indigenous for a long time. So my question is, where the hell have you been? Why claim to be Native and then just walk away? And then right now it's the equivalent of she just walked in the room, put the DNA test results on the table and walked out the door and let everybody bicker and fight amongst themselves. She has a responsibility here. She has to say something as well. She can step up and say, you know what? I wasn't there. I should have said something. I will be there for you guys in the future. She could say anything to that effect, but she won't, and she hasn't. Why not?
Why do you think she did it?
Why do you think she did the DNA test?
Yeah.
Well, she's running. We know that she's going to run for office. That's clear. The reason she has to address indigenous people now, she's ignored us up to this point, but she has her eye on the presidency. She wants to lock that Democratic nomination, and she's going to need the stamp of approval of indigenous people. Now, I don't think she is falling into the nastiness of what Trump is as that attack dog. I think what she's trying to do is she knows that if she's going to claim to be indigenous, and this is going to come up on the campaign trail, she needs a stamp of approval from natives. But this just... she shot herself in the foot with this. I don't know if she has any Native Americans that are there counseling her, telling her, maybe don't do that. But this was a stupid move on her part to think that Native Americans are just going to sit back and go, okay, you guys take our land, culture, water, whatever. And yeah, go ahead and take our identity just because you're a Democrat. No, we have to hold them, even our allies. We have to check our allies at the door. We had to check our allies at the door at Standing Rock. We always have to check our allies. And we have to hold her to the same standards as anybody else. And you are responsible and you are accountable for what you do, don't do, say, and don't say. I don't care who you are.
Now, what about the fact that a leading geneticist, Carlos Bustamante, has put his stamp over? I mean, he's basically the one who conducted the test and put out this big report. He might have been the one counseling her.
Yeah, that's fine. But at the same time, if you look at the results, she could have some sort of connection to an indigenous person as far, far south as South America. So her story is changing. She went from Cherokee to Native to now Native heritage. And we know this is slippery language, and that's the problem. We know slippery language. Slippery language had justified what they thought was the just taking of our land, you know. But for us, it was like, wait a minute, that's not what you said. Well, you know, we wrote it down. This is how it is. And we're dealing with that again. We're dealing with slippery used car salesman language where they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't say Native American. I didn't say that. I said Native heritage.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that Trump, off a lot. That's the kind of thing that Trump does all the time, right?
Oh, yeah. No, this is all. And that is what people are missing. As natives, we know that we're going to have slippery language from the government, whether it's Democrats or Republicans. But in this situation, again, through dissimulation, through language manipulation, we're supposed to just go, OK, and we're not. We know this. For hundreds of years, we've had to deal with slippery language just like this. And there's going to be negative repercussions because on the local level, not just on the federal level, not just the Trump administration, local people, non-Native people around Native territories, reservation areas, sovereign nations are working diligently right now to dissolve our sovereignty, to make us just a race and not separate sovereign nations for their own selfish gain. And little do they know, or little does Elizabeth Warren know, she's feeding them fodder. That's their argument. They're saying that it's discriminatory for Native Americans to get special rights and they're just a race of people and should not be considered a political group. With her statement right now, that's what she's saying, that by race, she's Native.
I see what
that's
you're saying.
The problem.
So it's essentially a reductionist approach to Native communities to identify them purely by DNA and genetics rather than as a political group, as sovereign nations, right?
Watering it down. Watering down what we fought for is our right to self-determine who is a part of our community and who isn't. And it's dangerous. And I really have to emphasize this. A lot of people come into our communities and just take. And not only do they just take our land and take our water and take our kids historically, they take our cultures, they take our language, and they commodify it. But it's really dangerous. A lot of people come into our communities and take our spirituality. There was a situation about 5 years ago where a guy took our Nipi ceremony, which is the sweat lodge, and killed a bunch of people because he didn't give them any water in it. Because he didn't get, and that's not how we operate. We have Nipi ceremonies, and there are things that we do traditionally so that nobody passes out. And that's our sweat lodge. And people take this and they commodify it. They take our image and commodify it. That's why you have the Washington football team. That's why you have the Cleveland Indians, the Kansas City Chiefs. We know that they take and they just keep taking. And she's participating in a culture of taking away from natives and telling us, that's it. Sorry.
Now, in your op-ed, Simon, you identify as a Democratic socialist. Are you disappointed that somebody like Elizabeth Warren has, in addition to deeply insulting the indigenous community, also in a way sabotaged herself? She's a leading progressive Democrat who has the potential to beat Donald Trump.
Oh yeah, no, I unfortunately that's the frustration for a lot of indigenous people, because we look at her and we agree with her politics and her policy. But the problem is it's like every time we turn around, but no, I support your voice. I support your community. But whatever, regardless what you say, I am Native American. And you're kind of like, see, that's where you're losing us. That's kind of like anybody, like your friend or your cousin, where you agree with them, but then you have to go, wait a minute, now you took it a little too far. Dial that back, and then they don't. They double down. So we're really disappointed that somebody that could probably knock Trump off his throne is now double downing and unfortunately reducing what indigeneity is in the United States, specifically in the United States. So it's greatly disappointing to see her do this, because otherwise I'd be in full 100 support. I'd knock on doors for her, but
Wow.
this I can't do that, not like this. And then I mean, when it comes to our indigeneity, when it comes to our rights as separate sovereign people, I'm not going to give that away with a vote or with tacit approval.
Some have pointed out that Barack Obama made a mistake by not responding to Trump's taunts about his birth certificate right away, so that you would just put out the fire and then keep going. Others have said, well, by responding, you end up feeding those taunts. And there's an argument, a sort of debate around that. Now, I wonder, I'm imagining that Elizabeth Warren said, well, by ignoring it, by rising above it, by staying silent, Obama did lose credibility among certain sectors of the American population. So I'm going to do the opposite, and I'm going to try this other approach. And I wonder if that was her, her thought process.
I don't know. I mean, but that there's a difference there, right? I mean, versus birth certificate versus separate sovereign nations here in the United
Yeah.
States that have fought for that right. I mean, if we look at right now, Native America, I mean, our right to vote is in danger right now in places like North Dakota. They're trying to take it away from us. We were the last ones to get the right to vote. As a matter of fact, I don't know if people know this, natives were the last to be considered American citizens in 1924, and now we're the first to lose our right to vote. Not just somebody like in Georgia who's just hiding ballots, ripping ballots up, but basically turning people away at the polling place. And those are indigenous people.
Right, I
So
understand
we're
in North Dakota, essentially there's a new voter ID law that requires a residential street address in order to be registered to vote, but a lot of folks on reservations have PO boxes, and so for that reason they're being denied their right to vote.
They're being denied their right to vote. And I love this meme that I saw recently of Native veterans that were standing there that said they were standing by the American flag, and it said, I didn't need a street address to serve. But now you need a street address to vote. There's been an attack on indigenous votes for a very, very, on voter suppression in Indian country for a very long time. And this goes back into the idea of sovereignty, right? We live in separate sovereign locations that are kind of far away from voting places. And even when there was voter suppression attempts several years back, again, we didn't hear anything from Elizabeth Warren. And that's, to pull it full circle, again, I'm not trying to disabuse people of trying to figure out if they're Irish, German, French, Scottish. Go ahead. That's great. But don't double down. Don't minimize what indigeneity is. Don't tell me that you support our right as sovereign people to self-determine who is indigenous. But wait, no, I'm native though. Just no matter what you say, I'm native. Does that seems really hypocritical to me. And if we don't check our allies at the door, sometimes, like I said before you know it, you see them, owning trading posts, hosting chicken feather powwows. You really have to check these people at the door, and they need to check themselves.
So, Elizabeth Warren, instead of putting this issue to bed, has actually sabotaged herself and made a bigger issue of it. If you had her ear, what advice would you give her at this point? I mean, obviously, you've written your piece and she should read it and obviously should start paying attention to issues facing Native Americans. Would you like her to start making those issues part of a presidential campaign and maybe apologize to Indigenous Americans for what she's done?
Sure. I mean, again, it's apologize, but also just an explanation. I mean, sometimes that's all it really is. It's like, where have you been? Why haven't you said anything about these issues? And if she could go so far as just to say to natives and to non-natives, you're like, you know what? I wasn't there. I should have been there. I should have said something. I think that would go maybe a long way for some people, but not a long way for others. Because again, I do worry that maybe, this is just what she does. Maybe she doesn't say anything when it comes to Native issues. I mean, again, she avoided us at Indian Country today. I don't know what assurances we have that she's not going to clam up again. I mean, I want her to be an ally. We want her to be an ally. We don't want the Trump administration. We don't want the GOP, especially even on the local levels around, you know, reservations. But what? Why won't she answer these questions? And this is something that's not just going to go away for a lot of Natives. You can't pretend like you were there. And then, and I think we all know this kind of story where somebody comes back into your life and they're kind of like, well, what matters is that I'm here now. No. That's not, you can't absolve your actions. You can't absolve your absence by saying, I should just be happy that you're here now. We need some explanations here.
I'm wondering if you saw this piece in The Nation magazine by Joan Walsh entitled Elizabeth Warren Will Not Let Donald Trump Define Her. And that's the fundamental point of a powerful video on her heritage. This was put out October 15th. And of course, The Nation magazine is a very influential left magazine. If you, you know, what your opinion on that might be, and also whether you think the left has treated this issue with the right kind of sensitivity.
Right. I agree with Joan in the sense that Elizabeth Warren should not allow Donald Trump to define her. But you know who does define indigeneity? We do. The indigenous people, the natives, not native heritage, but us. So that's where I disagree, but also agree with Joan, that Elizabeth Warren should come to the indigenous community. And again, right now, there is no Cherokee Nation. There's not one single solitary federally recognized, state recognized, non-recognized people that acknowledge her, yet she doubles down. That's the problem. So, I mean, I don't think she's entirely playing into Trump's hands. I think she's playing politics and just trying to get the natives on her side. But I don't think any native had advised her and said, that's probably not a smart move. And I think that is also, I think she forgets that she's giving us the same narrative that fans of the Washington football team and the Cleveland Indians and Chiefs and give us. Are like, look, I support you. I support your voice. I support your position. But my daddy, my mommy, that whole kind of like, that's how they justify their participation in these games. Like, it's very my family, my memory, my culture, without recognizing the detriments that it has on the indigenous peoples.
Well, it remains to be seen what ends up happening with this whole issue, whether it'll blow over, whether she'll take the right steps. And of course, Trump has doubled down. He had said he would donate $1 million if it turned out that a test proved that she was Indian. And of course, even him saying that a test can prove that you are Native American is a problem. So in a way, he sort of set that up. He challenged her and she took that very narrow challenge that he made, and then he turned around and claimed, oh, I never even said such a thing, that I would donate $1 million. And he is just making more hay out of all of this. He's gleefully pointing out how the left has attacked Elizabeth Warren for her missteps. So just all around big mess.
Yeah, no, we knew he wasn't going to do that. We knew that right away. That was low-hanging fruit. That was bait. That was more hyperbole. That was, with him, he's solipsistic self-aggrandizement, and we have to see that right away. And I think in this case, she should have been a little bit more responsible and recognize the importance of separate sovereign indigeneity, and not really, you know, double down. I keep saying double down because it's true. It's like, if we tell you you're not Native and you come over and say, yes, I am. I mean, what other community does that work in? I don't know if white people go up to black people and say, I'm black.
Well, like, Rachel, okay. Dolezal.
Oh, no. But Rachel Dolezal, that's the difference. Rachel, right. Dolezal was still a part of the community, right? She just went, it was lie of omission. She just didn't say that she wasn't white. She just went in there and claimed to be in, or just played the role that she thought that her identity was black. The difference is with Elizabeth Warren, she claims to be Native and then just takes off. That's the difference. She doesn't want anything to do with us as a community. I haven't seen her at any powwows. We certainly didn't see her at Standing Rock. But the difference, Rachel Dolezal just lied about it in the sense of like, looking the part, visibly looking the part, whereas Elizabeth Warren just says it, puts it on the table, and walks out the door.
Well, Simon, where's a good place for people to read your writings and your work? We'll link to your CNN op-ed for sure from our website.
Sure, it's all over CNN and NBC, but yeah, Twitter, at Simon Moya Smith.
Well, I want to I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll certainly post links to your Twitter handle as well. Thanks so much. Good luck to you.
No, thank you.
My guest has been Simon Moya-Smith. He's an Oglala Lakota and Chicano journalist. He recently wrote an op-ed on CNN.com entitled, "I am a Native American. I have some questions for Elizabeth Warren." He's the author of the forthcoming book, Your Spirit Animal is a Jackass. We've been discussing Elizabeth Warren's DNA test. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.